Cornelia guides
Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on for a very, 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 very special edition of the Dr. Pat Show. And what do I mean by a very, very, very special edition of the Dr. Pat Show? I'll tell you what I mean. But first, need to say hi to the two gentlemen pushing all the buttons. Thank you, Olivia, for helping with this episode, because we are in the process of doing so many things to change, not change, but to bring a bigger message out there. Today's show is extremely important to me, and I didn't realize it, but first let me say hi to Jacob, and let me say hi to Mr. Benny. Hi, Jacob and Mr. Benny. I could say Mr. Jacob, too. Mr. Jacob and Mr. Benny.
I would hope so.
Takes some getting used to, Jacob.
Yeah. Not ready for that yet, but, you know, it's okay.
Benny, how are you today?
Excellent. Thanks for asking, Pat.
Everybody have a good time off?
Yeah, I went camping on the eastern side of the state and just enjoyed the sun, and I am still burnt. I'm not sure if you saw it this morning or not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because it was a scorcher, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this beautiful weather. How about you, Benny? A good long weekend and having some Benny time.
Yeah, and I camped in my backyard, so.
That's what I was just saying. I mean, you know, one of us has got responsibility.
Yeah.
That's not me. I don't know if it's Jacob, but I have a different kind of responsibility. I'll tell you what, I do have a responsibility, and I think, Benny, in all the years you've known me, and Jacob for the short time you've known me, there are certain things that I've been more vocal about than others. But today is a very important show for me. And today is June, the beginning of June. It is also the beginning of Pride Month. And I woke up this morning and, you know, when Linda said to me, what are you going to do the show about? Do you want a guest? I said, no. I said, I got Benny. And I got Jacob, and I've got a lifetime of history. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was, what is this day in 2021? What does it represent? And so what I want to say it represents, for many things, there are many things going on, but it represents a new perspective on the community, the community that fought for their rights. And to backtrack and to give a little history of it, because I was talking with a number of different people over time these past couple weeks, and I mentioned something like Stonewall. Do you know what Stonewall is? Did you know what that meant? And where things began and certain perspectives. And what I realized was, if we don't talk about our history, we will lose our history. And I'm speaking to all of you because one of the things that I'm also aware of is when I go out and I speak, especially to youth, and I mention and I bring up words like Holocaust, and and they say, what? Like Holocaust. And I am immediately reminded of what the responsibility is of my generation to make us more aware. Today's show is exactly what you think it is. It is the show that talks about LGBTQI. It's a show that talks about a history. And by the way, they've changed the labeling. They've made things so that we understand it more. And so what we look at is what is LGBTQ plus that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the history of it. Because if we don't talk about the history of something, of any group, whether it's the Black Lives Matter group, or whether you're looking at a group where you fought for your spiritual and religious beliefs, or you're looking at what it means to fight for the truth of who you are and fight for a voice, it is very important to do. And the reason that I'm talking about it is because I don't want us to lull into a sense of forgetting what the battle was and how quickly those rights can disappear again. And so today, I want to talk about the history. What is important about facing history and facing history and ourselves? And I want to give reference to a couple of organizations. One is facinghistory.org. And if you go to facinghistory.org, you're going to be able to see that there are conversations with someone. You'll find Eric Marcus, and you'll see that what's happening is that we have heard about LGBTQ and pride, and we have heard about what it means, but we haven't really heard about the journey and what it was like. So I want to share it from my perspective because I'm a bit older than a lot of you, but many people ask, where did it start? Where did everything start? And, you know, thanks to the people at that organization I just mentioned, there is a timeline associated with LGBTQI, LGBTQ+. And by the way, we're now changing it to G, BTQ. So whatever it is, you're talking about the lesbian and gay, right? You're talking, just in case folks don't know what LGBTQ means, I just want to say we're talking about the journey of people that have had to fight for their lives, as so many others. But what happens in this group of people? What happens when you are they, when you are them? What happens when you are us? What happens when you look back at the journey and think to yourself, how did I get here? And that's where I want to start today, because you can read about the many, many things, right? You could read about this. You can go on and read about it. But when you say LGBTQ, you're talking about lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, and plus people. And the acronym will continue to change. It will continue to be defined over time. So lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning, as this is. This is the journey, and this is June. And this is about being out loud. And this is about remembering the fight. So I want to give you guys up close and personal perspective. Because sometimes I think we take it for granted. I think that, you know, we have made so much progress in the community, but what is at risk? And if we don't remember and if we don't hold on to the fight, then what happens? And we're starting to see it. We're starting to see legislation change to take our voting rights away. And when something as powerful as voting rights is being changed because something in a state doesn't go towards one party or the other, when that happens, then you make every group that has fought for rights and freedom vulnerable, because those voting rights that got us to where we are today, that got us to the place to really stepping out and honoring people as equals, those change and become vulnerable. And I just want to say about my state, Washington State, people say to me, Betty, they don't ask you, right? But they ask me, Pat, you know, Washington, why? Why are you here? Why would you be in a state that the sun doesn't shine a lot of years? And my answer always comes back to one answer, and that is, when I think about Washington State, and by the way, there are other states. I just want to say, you know, I'm a kid from New York, so I understand where the battle took place, and I'm going to share where I was on a very important day in history, and how I got there, and what that has come to mean to me. But I will say this: Washington State for me has been an interesting place. It's been the place where, when I think about the people in government that have come before, and I want to talk about one person in particular who sort of faded off into the sunset, Governor Gregoire. And I want to talk about Chris Gregoire for a minute, because what Chris Gregoire did before other people thought about doing it is by far unprecedented. So what is it about Governor Chris Gregoire who signs a law? What did she do to change the landscape? What did she see? What did she believe in? Today, it's all about pride. It's all about celebrating. It's all about stepping up and understand what all this means. And how is this showing up in Hollywood? How has this been starting to show up in shows like Billions, where language is being brought to the mainstream, where we're looking at Asia K. Dillon, you know, who plays Taylor and has created an entire language? What is it that we have now emerged as, and how vulnerable are we going to be if we don't keep the history going? Let's take a short break, everybody. When we come back, where did it start? What did it look like? When people say Stonewall, are you thinking some fancy place? I'm going to tell you exactly what it was. And, of course, Jacob will be putting up pictures. But when we come back, LGBTQ pride. Pride. To get to that word, to get to where that is, to get to that understanding, is literally a dissertation for every group out there that is fighting for their rights right now and fighting for their freedom and fighting not to be censored. We're going to take a short break, everybody. When we come back, we're going to talk about Stonewall. Was that really the beginning? Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother, Christian, went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. you, how do you start your day? Do you wake up anxious and on edge, already feeling the pressure of your giant to-do list? Or do you wake up feeling calm, collected, and excited to start your day? Here's a little secret. How you start your day sets the tone and foundation for the rest of your day. A stressed morning creates a stressed, just reacting to everything day. A calm and connected to self morning leads to aligned and confident choices that help you reach your goals. So take a good look at your morning routine. What can you do to set up a healthy foundation for your day? To get some ideas and a sneak peek into my own Coffee with the Universe morning routine, go to www.coffeewiththeuniverse.net.
Hey, everybody, welcome back for a special edition. It is June. Yep, the rent is due, stuff like that. All of that's going on. But this is 2021, and this is 2021 where this is all about 2021, right, June, and Pride Month. And so throughout the show today, LGBT Pride Month, LGBTQ plus Pride Month, whatever that means to you, you get it. This is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning, and plus, and so much more than any of that acronym. But it's come to mean something. First of all, it's come to mean anytime you see a rainbow flag. Now, how interesting is that? But what should you know about this? And what should you know about this month? And what should you know about what happened? Before I talk about June 28, 1969, and I will talk about that up close and personal, because you had to be there to get it. And if you were there on June 28th and shortly the days after, if you were there, something happens to you, but you never thought in a million years that if you fast forward to 2021, that you'd be doing a show and talking about a teenage year experience. But before I do that, I have to really mention, for me, an interesting note about LGBT rights in Washington State. And this is really, to me, what I talk about when people ask me about the state that I live in. I talk about Washington State as a state of freedom. Although we know there are inequalities, we know we have a horrific homeless situation here that is going unattended. But when I think about this state, I think about the possibilities, and next hour with Jessica, we're going to talk about that more. But then I think about what happened in 2011. What happened here that was more than what was happening any other place in the world? It was a battle to get same-sex marriages, a battle. Every state, everybody participated in it. You know, the battle that was led from the fine state of Hawaii, you know, to bring a level of awareness to this. It was just unprecedented. But when I think about us, something happened here, and people say this did not happen in any other state in this way. And Benny, you can fact check me on it, but I'm pretty sure I got this one. And so what happened was 2011, Washington State recognized same-sex marriages performed elsewhere as equivalent of its own domestic partnership. There it is. But this started earlier. You know, this started back in 1998, defining marriages here. 2006, Anderson versus King County, Washington Supreme Court. 2007, Washington State recognized its own state registered domestic partnerships. I mean, you're thinking about this and you're thinking, really, back then? But even before that, there were laws that criminalized this, criminalized people loving. But as time went on, something happened, and here she came. Governor Chris Gregoire signed a law authorizing same-sex marriages on February 13, 2012, but opponents gathered enough signatures to force a voter referendum. You know what I love about this? Benny, I don't know if you remember this, this referendum was so interesting because what they did is they jammed the voting referendum with both this particular voter referendum and legalizing marijuana. And the psychology behind voting is up for a whole nother show. But the idea would be, wait a minute, people will vote for one and not the other, and they think marijuana is way more important. And guess what? They were so wrong. You know, voters approved the law in that November election by 54 to 46. And by the way, the marijuana thing, that passed too. So same-sex marriages in this state took effect on December 6th, provided Washington registered domestic partnership people to convert automatically. Right? All of this happening. All of this happening. If you didn't dissolve before 2014, you converted automatically. Why am I talking about any of that? This is 2021. We're in the middle of an epidemic. Why talk about pride? Well, I'll tell you why I'm talking about this, because if you really want to talk about an epidemic and you really want me to talk about what my life was like in the 1980s, living in New York City, watching a mayor of New York City completely deny AIDS and watching gay men die left and right, painful deaths, we can talk about that because that's part of the history too. But I want to go back, and I want to thank Asia K. Dillon for stepping out and saying non-binary, and we'll talk about that. But what happened? What does the history look like? For those of you out there, there's a great LGBTQ history timeline reference, and I think Jacob is going to be putting it up. And it talks about timelines that even go back to second century, you know, that talk about 1623 and Francis Bacon. There's a lot here you could look at into the history from what it was documented. It goes right through. And it goes through and it talks about years like 1925 and blues singer May Rainey arrested in Harlem for having a lesbian party. I don't think that was in the movie, Benny, was that? When they did that movie with May Rainey. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that. I think they left out the lesbian party. I think that's what she was arrested for. In her house in Harlem, she had a lesbian party. She was arrested in 1925. Her protege, Bessie Smith, bailed her out of jail, the following morning. Rainey and Smith were part of an extensive circle of lesbian and bisexual African-American women in Harlem. Think about that. African-American women in Harlem. Now you're arrested. You know, these are the things we have to remember. We can make blockbuster Hollywood movies. We can give Academy Awards to people. We can raise them up and say, here's your award. Here's what you've done. But boy, isn't this an interesting note. 1950, the first lasting gay organization was formed, and it was formed in no other place but Los Angeles. I don't know what New York was doing. They referred to themselves as the homophile group, and we could talk about what that means as we move forward, but this is some of the history that gets really important to look at. Denmark becomes the first country in 1989, you know, to legally recognize, this is 1989, right? 1989. But as you move forward and you look at the history and you go from the 50s and you ask yourself, what has happened in the 50s? And then you move to the years while I was young, a young teenager living in New York. But at a time where when you went down to New York City and you went down to the village, I love saying that, you went down to the village. Right? It used to just be called the Village. I think now you got to call it the West Village because, like, something else happened in the Village where you can't even afford to live there now. But the Village, it was that place of Bob Dylan. It was a place where I could go as a young girl and walk into a cafe, Cafe Wa, and non-alcoholic, and so you brought your own alcohol. Well, you brought your own everything in there. And listen to this guy sit down and play guitar and sing songs in this strange voice, this Bob Dylan voice, and talk about things that made no sense until you step back. And it was the place where this same guy destroyed, almost destroyed his fan base the minute he walked in and played an electrical guitar instead of acoustic. Those are the days when we talked about the nuances of music, and we talk about them today. We see it in the legends of hip-hop. We see it in the legends of, you know, hip rock that's coming forward. We see it in the people that have a message. We see it in the people that are coming out in pride and coming out in proud. We see it in athletes. We see it in musicians. We see it in everyday people. We see it in a teenager, in a high school, in Bothell, Washington. You know, we see it, and we don't see it. That's why I'm doing the show today. We see you, and we want to see you more. And this is why this is important. These rights that so many fought for, they will be gone in a nanosecond because we forgot what it means to honor each other. We forgot that politics is not a game. It's a matter of lives. We forgot that changing voter registrations in states is just not the right thing to do. In states where these rights for the LGBT community were made whole and now are at risk. But how did we get from the 60 and 63 and Cafe Wa to 66? How did we get to the riots in San Francisco in 66 in a cafeteria? How did we get there when trans women were denied service and arrested for breaking gender clothing laws? I mean, come on, right? But the question is, have we really changed about our transgender friends, sisters, brothers? Have we changed about them? Have we changed our perspective? Thank you, RuPaul. Thank you, RuPaul. Benny, RuPaul, best season ever.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, right? Thank you, RuPaul. What's at risk? 66, Compton cafeteria riot, San Francisco. Trans woman walks in, denied service, arrested for breaking gender clothing laws. 1966, you probably are thinking to yourself, oh, that was like a long time ago. No, it really wasn't. It wasn't a long time ago. Did some of you run the same risk? I know my friend that lives in Louisiana, probably going to get her child yanked from her. So while it seems we've come far, we need to take pride in 2021 and ask ourselves, are we doing enough? I will tell you today in this show what I will be doing, because I cannot forget my roots. But 1969, what is it about 69? Let's get some 69 music up there, Benny. 1969 had to be one of the most crazy, impactful years of any century. 1969, Stonewall, Woodstock, riots for people fighting for their liberty and their equality in the city that I graduated from, Plainfield High School. 1969, let me tell you where I was when we come back from break. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, a very special edition of Why LGBTQ History Matters, even if it's not you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Trish Loud from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your care hero tip of the day. During all care hero journeys, The need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge Care Heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's Care Hero power tool is the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desire. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
The truth is funny. This happens. The Colette Marie Steffens is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Everybody, welcome back. I'm giving you a flashback into the history, but this is important conversation in 2021, and I'll tell you why. I think for a lot of us, the effects of January 6th on the grounds of the White House, on the grounds of, excuse me, not the White House, the Capitol, and for me, the lack of the ability of our government to really ensure all of our safety, to really figure out what was that about, to really figure out how to protect our rights. It's scary for a lot of folks. It gets even scarier if you're watching the news and you're part of the African American brown black community. If that's you, every day has become a scary headline, every day. And so the question is, what do we have to remember about ourselves today? It's LGBTQ rights, and why remember? Because if we don't remember these events and we don't remember what led up to them and we don't remember how this all came down and we don't remember why we moved towards a pride movement and we don't remember what was at risk for a lot of people, then it is going to be a modern-day handmaid's tale. But it's not just going to be a handmaid's tale just for women or just for things that happen on a daily basis. It's going to be a universal takeover of voting rights that affect every one of our beliefs. So if you're a young woman or a young man and you are growing up and you look at yourself in the mirror every day, and I'm not going to talk about the suicide rates of the LGBTQ community because probably if I shared them, you might not believe me. But I will tell you, growing up every day and feeling like you're not accepted in the stigma and being harassed and bullied, you get to a breaking point. And I will tell you when that breaking point was. There was a couple. There were earlier resistance and riots. And let me go through a little bit with the history, and then I'm going to get to Stonewall right away. But I'm telling you, there was something about 69. I'm telling you, between Stonewall, what happened in New York, and Woodstock, and much more, it was such a year of massive change. I often wonder what the planets were lining up as. But here it is. You know, on the fringe, right? We think about this a lot. On the fringe, what we were looking at were a few small gay communities who challenged gender expectations. There were a few of them. You know, there were people who dressed and lived in contrast to their genders assigned at birth. Whether they did it full-time or part-time, this is what they did. And, you know, we're talking about times in the 60s. You know, this doesn't mean that things were not going on before that. But, you know, you had to know that when you heard in 1965 that there was Cuban prison work camps for homosexuals, when you started to hear these things, you probably, if you're me and you're living in New York City and you're growing up in New York City, you're kind of thinking, I'm scared for my life. But even if you're scared for your life and you don't come out in the way we, you know, people come out today, you don't come out the way we come out today, but you're out. How are you out? You're going to the places where you can be by the people that are like you, that love you. And so pride has come to mean love. And it's come to mean love from roots that were so historically vulnerable and dangerous and powerful and rebellious. Greenwich Village, Manhattan, and Harlem, they were the home to sizable, and I'm not gay and lesbian populations, even from World War I, and almost every kind of historical movie you see tries to emulate Greenwich Village of some kind. And you hear about this, and it became safe. Why? It became safe because for a very profitable reason. None of the bars frequented by myself and my friends, gay men, lesbians, were owned by gay people. Almost all of them were owned and controlled by, yes, organized crime. Why? Why was that true? And even with that, even though they became these places to go, the owners treated the people that were regulars poorly. Everything from overcharging for drinks. Nowadays, you don't mind paying for an overcharged drink. But watering down liquor, overcharging drink. I need to tell you that police officers were paid off. I mean, how else does this happen in a place where this group of people is not accepted? Stonewall was located, I think, at Christopher Street. I don't know exactly the cross street, 51st, something like that. Jacob probably knows. But it was there, and it was there with other establishments, and guess who owned them? The Genovese family. And so in 66, you know, the mafia invested close to $4,000 or more and turned Stonewall into a gay bar. It had been a restaurant. It had been a nightclub for heterosexuals. But why? I'd love to interview these people, but they did it. And when they did that, once a week, police officer would collect envelopes and cash. It was a payoff. It was called Gayola. Benny, don't be laughing. It's a true thing.
Is it really?
It's true. Not Gayola. It was called Gayola. That is a thing. And it became very profitable. The payoff for both police and crime families and these establishments was an economic issue. But for the LGBTQ community, these places were home. These places were safe haven. These places had dancing. These places were places people could come. You know, the legal age, of course, was 18. But what happened on this day in 1969? As usual, you go to any place like this and you're greeted by a bouncer. And you know it's a bouncer. And now we see that, but you're greeted by a bouncer and you're inspected at the door. And because of legal drinking is 18, certainly for me, I had a couple different licenses there. But unwittingly, even the bouncer let in a couple of undercover police. They were called a whole lot of things. Lily Law, Alice Blue Gown, Betty Badge. These were names. This was a thing. This Stonewall and this environment that became a safe haven for people that once they left the village could be beat nearly to death on any other street corner but here. The entrance fee was a whopping, I remember it as more than $3, but it's $3. You know, you get two tickets. And it was typical back in the 60s. That's the way things worked. You had to sign your names into a book. You had to sign your name into a book to prove that you were walking into a private establishment. Nobody signed their real names. Just, hello? Nobody signed. But you had to sign your name. And you would sign your name in there, and then there were two dance floors at Stonewall, very, very dark. It was dark. I think a lot of the rooms were painted black, but it was very typical. It was dark inside. Pulsing lights, black lights, it was the whole thing. If police were spotted, the lights came on. So you went from this totally black. This is so cool. You're in this black room, music, strobe lights, and then somebody spots a police person in. All the lights go on. Everybody's, all the lights gone. Then you get to really see who you're looking at sitting across from you on that bar stool. But here you are in two dance floors. And so in the rear, there was this small room. And that was the room that was, I don't know how to put this, you know, that's where, let's just say, queens went. Dressed up, hair, beautiful. Beautiful. And only a few would try to buy them drinks. This was a very interesting clientele. But if you're the average person, if you're me, if you're you, and you walk into this place, you're there because you're feeling safe. But what happened on this night? What happened on this night? Here's what happened. So those without identification, right, it would be an issue. Bar management usually knew about the raids beforehand, so let's just be really clear about this. Everything was orchestrated because nobody wants to go against organized crime, or definitely you don't want to go against the Genovese family. So everything was organized. You would get tip-offs. Everybody knew this. We now, as you look back on the history, it's very clear. You can Google this. You can look up the history. There are books written about this. But this is what you're not going to find out about. When you think about what the requirements were, when you think about this, and you think about the period before June 28, where there was a frequent raid of local bars, you have to think for yourself, if you knew this, why would you go there anyway? Including a raid at Stonewall the Tuesday before that riot. Why would you keep going there? Why would you do that? Mafia owners of the Stonewall and the management blackmailed their wealthier customers. I mean, this was a hub for disaster, for horrific acts of cruelty, for horrific acts of blackmail and injustice against people. But why would you keep going there? And then one night, two undercover policemen entered this bar, Stonewall. To what? Observe, gather visual evidence, to ask the question about public morale. They were part of what's called the public morale squad. And they would signal to outside. Once ready, the undercover officers would call for backup. Stonewall's employees, you know, this is what you know. If you're tipped off about every other raid, then what happened here? One or two things. Nobody remembered in management of being tipped off. So this was orchestrated in a way for some reasons we'll probably never know about. But when you take a look at Stonewall and the double doors that you walk into and police and that night and what happened when the music was turned off and the lights were turned on and approximately 200 people in this bar, but I'll tell you, it felt like more. And patrons who had never experienced a police raid before, confused. A few may have realized what was happening at the doors, but imagine being in a place where you thought was safe, and then it wasn't. And like cattle, you're ushered and you're told so quickly you can't even figure out how to get out. But people are trying. They're trying to find ways out. Are there other doors? Can we escape? Why are we being herded and gathered together? And why am I sharing this with all of you? This is June, it's Pride Month, and we need to remember the history. Because we can, if we don't remember the history of all those that have come before, all of the Harvey Mills, all the people that have come before to fight for rights that nobody ever thought the community would get, nobody ever thought this would happen, to fight for these rights. We are so vulnerable right now that these rights can be taken away in a second. And by the way, in certain states in the United States, they are being taken away. But here we are in 2021. It didn't go as planned. Why wouldn't it go as planned? Let me give you a clue. Walk into any bar, I don't care, LGBTQ, or go to any bar downtown Seattle, like in the middle of the morning, after people have been piling down the liquor, and walk in there and try to arrest 200 people. So I love when the police tell this story, and you should have seen the headlines the days after. Standard procedure was to line everybody up, check their ID. Female officers would take customers dressed as women into the bathroom, verify their sex. Can you believe that? Like how? 1969, folks. Crazy. And upon which many people appeared to be men and dressed as women. They were arrested immediately that night. Those dressed as women that night refused. Thank you, RuPaul. Now, I'm not saying RuPaul was there. He's too young to be there. They refused. So this was different. Men began to refuse to produce their identification. Police decided to take everyone present to the police station, 200 of us, 200 to the police station, after separating those suspected of cross-dressing in a room in the back, right? And those not. Everyone remembers a certain version of this. When you hear me talk about it, I just want you to remember it's not that long ago. Matthew Shepard is not that long ago. We've almost forgotten him not that long ago. You know, a young woman in a high school in Bothell not that long ago. A young woman in a community in Montana not that long ago. A young man in Miami, Florida not that long ago. Not that long ago. The biggest fear of everyone was that they'd get arrested. The second biggest fear was that the picture would be in a newspaper or television report. And in 1969, if that was you, your life was over. Light was over. Everybody could feel the tension in the room. Where do you go from there to a riot? You can imagine yourself what it looks like. June 28th. 1969, Summer in the City. That was probably the song playing. 28 cases of beer, they say, and bottles of liquor were seized. Not sure why that was. There are people arrested at the front door. If they didn't leave quickly as usual, they were stopped outside. The crowd outside began to grow. This was the issue. This is what was going on. Whenever you bring people together that a harm has been brought upon them, whether it's the reoccurrence and the recount of George Floyd, or it's your friend being beat to death two blocks from your house because of the way he identified or she identified or they identified or it identified, you are going to have a breaking point, and this was the breaking point for the LGBTQ community. This was it. This was 100 and 150 people outside. A lot of them were released. Police cars, the crowd, police pushing people left and right, kicking people. Gosh, if we'd have had cell phones then, you'd have seen this for real. You can look at some of the pictures. You're not going to get very many of them because back in 69, the media just didn't tell the truth. Today, they don't either, but thank goodness for cell phones. Some people were released. The first patrol wagon arrived, and there were so many things that happened. people were shoved, they were pushed, they were loaded into, I don't know, what do we call them, police cars. But then the break-even point, a scuffle, it was more than a scuffle, they call it a scuffle, broke out between a woman in handcuffs that was escorted from the door of the bar, waiting a police wagon several times. She escaped repeatedly, fought with the police, swearing and shouting 10 minutes, described as a typical New York butch, a dyke. So why am I telling you this? Because many people don't know how the riot started. The story that doesn't get told is what happened at Stonewall to the lesbian population and the women that were here. This is where the rubber hit the road. This is what happened. And this woman, whose identity remains unknown, some people know her, some people can remember her, went berserk. It was that moment right there, just like many of us who marched, who were part of marching in marches for equal rights, rights for women, rights for people of color, rights, LGBT. There's always a moment where you can feel it. Seattle, you know, Capitol Hill, there's a moment you can feel it. There's a moment that you can feel something's going to go too far. When there is a woman that you try to take to a door and put her in a wagon and she escaped several times, you must get to the point where you think this is explosive, but they didn't. And at that point, it was over. The police tried to restrain the crowd. They knocked down people, incited even more. The handcuffed people in the wagon, you had to be there to see this. The handcuffed people in the wagon literally escaped from the wagon, handcuffed. They had to be left attended. This was the beginning of a movement that could never be reversed. Many people ask me how I felt about George Floyd. They ask me about what I recollect. And I said to them in a recent interview, I said, you know, George Floyd was a nightmare, a disaster. It was so sad to watch. It was heartbreaking. It was gut-wrenching. But the courage that emerged from there, the courage of a young person to video, the courage of a man to hold on for that many minutes, the courage of the people around to stand their ground, the courage of what happened in that moment, as hideous as that was a Stonewall moment. That was the moment where you said you've had enough. That was that moment. And there have been so many other moments. There are moments, and there are going to be more moments, because this moment set the stage. It set the stage. What then came next, the cops didn't get paid off. The people in the crowd started to throw coins. You're lucky if you didn't get hit in the head. They were throwing pennies. There was so much that went down on this event. There was so much that this went down. The police were outnumbered at this point by 500 and 600 people. Grabbed several people, including folk singer and mentor Bob Dylan, Dave Van Ronk, who had been attracted to the revolt. So remember what I said to you. This was my playground. This was me going to hang out with Bob Dylan at the Cafe Wah, listen to music, Stonewall, many other places down there. This was the village in the 60s. And so here you are, and you now have ignited a spark that was never going to change. When you talk to people about this event, and when you ask, what was it that you felt in your heart? And I will tell you what my answer is. There's only one answer, and it's the voice and the sound that resonates to this day. If you haven't heard this voice because you feel better, the economy's opening, you think that we're on the path to something great, you think that we will go back to a new normal, pride is to remind us of the journey that so many people have taken to step forward because what they felt inside was the collective consciousness of a group of people that had been persecuted, where crimes had been hidden. So much mimics what we see in the headline. It was done. Not going to take it anymore. Not going to take it anymore. And then for 3 days later, it continued. But that wasn't going to be the end of it. This became the beginning of a movement. As we're watching in the headlines, a beginning of a movement. Now I'll tell you that beginnings of movements, they take on an energy and a life of their own. And so many people were damaged on that night, were hurt on that night. So many people stood up for their rights on that night. And it's so important as we enter June, and I'll be referencing Pride Month all along the way, that we remember why we call it Pride.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Tuesday to you. Here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Good thing, folks, so far no major block or accidents to report at the moment. Morning traffic is well past us, and we still have a little bit of leftover slowing on 405 northbound out of those S-curves and Talbot Road South exit, running up to about Northeast 30th Street as you're climbing up to the Kenny Delta. Smooth up to the I-90 in downtown Bellevue. I-5 is still jammed up around 18th Avenue Southeast near Rainier Avenue. 3S our way and into downtown Seattle as well. Well, that's all right. Stay tuned because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. She welcomes executive producer of the show, Jessica Henderson. And it's all about life in the gray area. More on that after the news and weather on the Dr. Pat Show to find out.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is marking the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre with a visit to Oklahoma. On May 31st and June 1st of 1921, white mobs attacked the city's Greenwood District. Hundreds of black Americans were killed and numerous businesses were destroyed. Moderna is asking the FDA to fully approve its COVID-19 vaccine. It's the second drug maker to apply, which would allow the company to market its vaccine directly to consumers. To be fully authorized, the FDA requires at least 6 months of data. It usually takes the FDA months before it grants approval. The U.S. Supreme Court says Johnson & Johnson must pay $2 billion to women who say its baby powder was contaminated with cancer-causing asbestos. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
The justices sided with a lower court in Missouri that said J&J must pay 20 women who claim the health giant's talcum products caused their ovarian cancer. J&J argued in its appeal that the lower court ruling was at odds with independent safety reviews, but the high court ruling cited evidence that J&J knew its products contained asbestos and misrepresented their safety for decades. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
American Airlines is teaming up with the makers of the VeriFly app in what some see as baby steps toward vaccine passports. Paul Hartshorn is with the Association of Professional Flight Attendants.
I don't think we've gotten to the point where we're talking about passports yet because nobody really knows exactly how that's going to work.
He says this app allows travelers to have all the COVID documents they need all in one place. And that's important, he says, because it cuts down on the stress and hopefully tensions midair. The Nevada Senate is advancing a bill that would move it from a caucus to a primary state. Lawmakers passed the measure yesterday, and it now heads to Governor Steve Sisolak's desk for his signature. The bill would make the state the first to weigh in on the 2024 presidential primary contest. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shelley Blaise with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Kids are full of energy, but keeping them active in their teen years can be a challenge. Aim for an hour of physical activity every day. If they like sports, that's a great place to start. Keep the focus on fun, not winning, and encourage your child to do a variety of activities. If your child isn't meeting that 60-minute goal, gradually increase their activity in ways they enjoy. For more, talk with your pediatrician or visit healthychildren.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Tuesday. Welcome back from the Memorial Day holiday. Thanks for looking up. A warm week ahead. Mostly sunny skies.
High temperatures in the upper 70s to low 80s all week long, and mostly clear skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the upper 50s. By Friday night, though, clouds moving in with a slight chance of rain showers. High temperatures for Saturday, around 65.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. Let me just make an adjustment on the old mic right there. I have to suck up a little black coffee. Welcome, everybody. It's so great to have you join us here on the Dr. Pat Show. I got a very special hour for you following the hour we just did. And as I mentioned throughout the month, yes, let's celebrate Pride together, all of us. And I'll be mentioning that in every show and perhaps sharing a tidbit as we go. But what we talked about before is what my very special guest today is going to talk about. You know, what does it mean, life in the gray area? What does that look like? And what happens when you emerge and discover who you are to figure out what you'd like to bring forth in the world? Maybe you didn't see it back in the day, but you're here now. Jessica Henderson is joining me here today, executive producer right here at Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show. She's actually much more than that. She's also our VP of Sales and Marketing. And the genius behind the integrated technology that you've heard us talk about. She's been somebody that said yes to an internship 10 years ago and sat next to somebody I hope she talks about that literally taught her what to do and how to do it. Lifelong creative and a musician. You know, when I think about passion for learning, it's an understatement. There are certain of us that have a passion for learning, and then there are others that have a conviction to make sure they do learn it. And so here she is with this incredible direction of her life, the thing we call audio engineering, Benny. But what happens when you get dropped into an internship somehow through some strange idea, because we were partnering with the Institute, And you end up in a little room in somebody's house taking instructions from an ex-military, fabulous ex-military, Heather. And the next thing you know, you're offered a job. But what are you thinking to yourself? Are you thinking about that gray area? Are you thinking about possibilities? Or are you thinking about, let me just do the next indicated thing? But in time, you change, you grow, you become part of transformation and not just on the outside of transformation. You start to feel the energy of flow that generates when you say the word transformation. You also start to understand that you can define transformation in your own way. Many people define transformation as struggle. You've got to burn. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. There are four totems in transformation. And I have to think really hard which one of them goes through that kind of burning process. But here she is today, you know, right in the center of our hosts, our co-hosts, our sponsors, our producers, Jacob, Olivia, producers we're bringing on. But here you are. You're that person. And out of you emerges your own show. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the possibility perspective. How do you give birth to that? Jessica, good to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here. interesting. Your perspective on me is interesting.
You know, I have to get it in a short period of time, so I have to give you the cliff notes of it.
I like the genius bit.
You know, part of this is really looking at what you talk about, the possibility perspective. And I want to step back for a minute before we really get into talking about opinion and perspective, because these are really interesting bedfellows, right? You know, sometimes, as Don Miguel taught me a long time ago, you know, when you're in a place, how can you find a way to not take something personally? It's one of the hardest things that he does. I mean, his book, The Four Agreements, I don't know anybody that can do them. I just think we should all try. But for you, we're talking about the possibility perspective and the fine line, the gray area that defines opinion and perspective. What does that mean to you?
Okay, so to me, I had to Google this. Because I started talking about perspective, and then I started saying all these things that are my own perspective and this and that, and then I was like, where are these my opinions? And then what's the difference? So I had to Google it, and I actually agree with the answer that I got on Google, so I'm just going to read it to you.
All right.
A perception is what I see and how I interpret it. An opinion is what I do with the information I've obtained via my perception. So for me, that's exactly how I would define it, is that my opinions are based on my perceptions. And so then the question is, well, what are your perceptions based on then?
And what are they based on?
I think they're based on your upbringing. I think they're based on experiences and circumstances. I mean, you can go back to the show you did the last hour. This Pride Month is a perfect example of people's experiences and upbringings and perspectives on life. And going, it was really cool the way you went through the history of it, because somebody standing here today that doesn't understand Pride Month or the celebration of it or the history of it has a very different perception, mm-hmm. right? And so for me, the goal is to be open-minded enough to just know that people have different perceptions, and then see where we can meet in the middle on it.
Yeah. You know what I love about this conversation is that, you know, I'm struck by the history and the energy and the forward movement of perspective. Because what I realized in prepping for that last show is I realized that within two generations, no one will remember Stonewall. Maybe one generation. It'll be a far cry from any of that. And, you know, let's talk about perspective for a minute. I've said to many people, right, make sure you take a stand for your rights, women. And they look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I look at them and I say, well, women in this country don't have equal rights. And they look at me and they say, what? And so I realize that I have a perspective about a bit of information, which is actually factual. And my generation has not done a good job. And I'm generalizing, so you can email me on it, but myself included. We've not done a good job. I'm putting perspectives on the table so people can understand them. And how do you look at opinion and perspectives? And each of them has their own potholes, but each of them has their own mountain slopes. How do you put them together to shape a person?
It's huge. And it's something that I think is a piece of self-discovery for me as I go, which is why I wanted to do the show to begin with. Because
yeah.
I really wanted to take people's perspectives that, you know, if you put them in a room together, they might get in an argument. And so how can we share and listen and be open and see when we're headed down a pitfall is when we're not open. When we are stand so solid in our ground about something and we think we are so right and this is the fact and this is what it is and nothing can change my mind, we're never going to get anywhere, ever. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the argument is, because even if in the end you are right, which honestly I don't know that I believe anyone's right or wrong about anything, to be honest, but even in the end, if you, let's say, for sake of argument, that you are right. So, what does that mean? Like, are you right to try to change other people's opinions or perspectives? Are you right just for your own self? Like, what's the point of being right about something? And so if that's all you're focused on is being right about something, that's a pitfall, because you're not gaining anything except ego, I suppose. You're not going to change anybody else's. But if you step back for just a second and you let go of being right just to be right, or whatever ego is telling you you have to be in this way, you actually have a chance to change somebody else's perception if you approach it differently, right? And that's what,
right.
I see wrong in what's in our world, is that we don't know how to communicate with each other and listen with compassion and understanding. And then everything just gets even more divided. So I think that's the biggest pitfall, is just being so stuck in your own way that you're unwilling to listen.
Well, I mean, part of this, too, is we've been talking a lot with Nancy Landrum and the shows from Nancy Landrum. But also, you know, you, me, we've been talking about learning and understanding each other better. And I was fascinated by the Enneagram and that little brief thing we did, right, with Renee Siegel, that little brief thing, and yet my awareness at that moment, and even for a couple of days, I've lost sight of it. And, you know, there are things that we have to understand about ourselves so that we can help with not just perspective, but how do we go from perspective to possibilities? We're going to take a short break, Jessica. When we come back, what does the journey look like? From perspective to possibilities. You know, what is it that I realized in the last show that I said I would announce in this show that was a very important perspective for me about not stretching enough of the possibilities to really take action, to create a community of people that can talk with each other and honor the dignity of a human spirit? Let's take a short break. When we come back, Jessica Henderson. Yeah, from perspective to possibility. Is it one step? Is it two? Am I going to have to hang glide, or am I have to jump from a plane? Stay tuned. We'll be back.
The Finder of Lost Things. Exploring your superpowers of trust, healing and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go. Whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle, that process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit SarahKRamsey.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Sage and Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Sage and Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, this is a great conversation to have because I think there are multiple perspectives to things. We've certainly seen it in the headlines. You know, it doesn't matter what news clip you watch. You get two people that you think have the same perspective in a room and they don't. One of them may have the same perspective but has a different opinion. How do you have the meeting of the minds? How do you come to this place where we understand the relationship between opinion, perspective, and perception? Because in the world we live in the world we live in, whether you go back to 1969 or you go back to 2000 and whatever it was with Chris Gregoire, or you take a look at the current environment we're living in, the opinion and perspective in the middle of a pandemic is extremely important that we have this conversation, because opinion and perspective, they become to shape who we are. And they're based on beliefs. You know, they're based on where we come from and what we believe. And it doesn't mean the deep-seated beliefs at birth, but what do you believe in this moment? Jessica, thank you for taking this on. Before we go ahead, you know, your show is The Possibility Perspective. Tell folks about that. Tell them where they can find out more about that.
Absolutely. I have a website, thepossibilityperspective.com, and then also you can subscribe to it on most podcasting platforms and Transformation Talk Radio. I release, as of right now, a new episode on the 11th of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific time until I decide to do more frequently or my boss gives me a little bit more breathing room.
That ain't happening.
Just kidding.
You know, look, in the scheme of things, as we look at this and we look at that and we take a look at relationships, we've got to put this together because opinion, perspective, and perception and possibility, right? When you put these all together, they will cultivate a picture. And it will be a picture that will drive an action or an inaction. And in the world we live in action and action, believe it or not, they are still action. But when you think about opinion perspective, get us to the bridge of one of the most critical things that we can understand about ourselves. Our perception.
Okay, so I've got an example for you.
Uh-oh.
Passenger side mirror, I think on all vehicles, there's a message, and it says, I'm going to get this right, I think. It says, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Okay, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. I've struggled with this my entire life. I have looked in the mirror, and then I've looked behind me, and I've looked in the mirror, and I've looked behind me, trying to figure out what this message says. Because is the message saying that the objects are actually closer to you than they appear in the mirror? Or is it saying that the objects in the mirror make them closer than they actually appear when you look behind you? It could be interpreted both ways. It's all about your perspective on that. And now there is a right or wrong to this one, because if you get it wrong, you might run into something. But I'm just saying, like, the way that's phrased, that's an example of communication where you could have a serious pitfall if you don't get that right. Do you know which one it is?
Well, you don't have to be honest with you. You know enough about my type to know that I probably don't read it. Right? Right?
Right.
But along the same lines, you know, what you're talking about presents an opinion depending upon who you ask. I bet if you asked Linda that question, she'd be able to give you her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm not sure. I mean, the whole thing also ties in to the human factors way they're developing these cameras in our vehicles, right? Because you're talking about the side mirror. But if you take that one step further, right, and you look at the design, the human factors design, of even turning on the camera and trying to figure out the parking space, right? I can't tell you how many times I've been in the car with Linda and the camera turned on, and there's the green line and the yellow line, and we're looking at each other, which line do we follow? And I'll say, well, the green line is moving, the yellow line is telling you. And by the time you figured it out, you're so confused. So what's your answer? Which one do you follow?
I actually have no idea. I still to this day have no idea. I think I figured it out from time to time, but I've spent so much time agonizing over it that I've confused myself to the point of inaction. And so that, you know, circling back to the action versus inaction, I literally agonized over that for so long that I'm just like, screw it. I don't know. And I'm not going to try to figure it out. And that can happen, I think, in our lives. And I think that's that space of not going to possibility. And I think that that happens to all of us. You know, that's a silly example, but that happens to all of us in a lot of aspects of our life, that we either, you know, if we're not in the stick in the sand, we just kind of almost go to it and I don't care.
Right. And so let's talk about the danger of that, right? Because there's a danger also, too, of agonizing over getting it to the point, right, where you become immobile. So one aspect is you don't care about it because it's just mind-boggling. The other one is, how do we look at our perspectives and our perception to the point where it's either going to get us to where we want to go or not, right? I mean, I'm going through this right now with making decisions about the office space. And, you know, I come in today and I'm feeling really good about, you know, the office space and about, you know, where we're going and what we're doing. And I walk in and I'm thinking to myself, please turn on the air conditioning. And I never think that, Jessica. I'm like, you know me, right? If it's 80 degrees in here, I'll be, and I got Linda in the other room, who's got this clanking sound coming from something in the ceiling. And I'm thinking to myself, this is why I haven't signed the extended lease. Because there are things that I need to make sure are taken care of. And so is there a possibility of being both in this place, of being very left-brained about it? What does that rearview mirror say? Does it say this or does it say that? That's the place. Having an eye on possibilities, but not compromising, right, the ideal situation. So the ideal perspective, the ideal perception. My perception and your perception, if we sat down and talked about the space, which we've done a million times, we'd have very similar ideas about it. But I may be more agonizing over Linda just going out of her mind in there with clanking sounds from the fan and my reluctance to sign a five-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get off the stuck pad? You know, how do we not become flies on flypaper? That's what I want to know from Jessica Henderson.
So this is an interesting one because the very fact of your inaction in this has actually created other possibilities in them coming back with a better offer on the space, right?
Yeah.
Them, I mean, and then us looking at, okay, if we have this more space, what are we going to do with it and where are we going to go and what's it going to be? So it's really interesting because I think sometimes we think inaction is a bad thing.
Thank you.
And I don't think it is. I mean, we could get into the whole, we kind of talked about that on my last show where I interviewed you about good versus bad, who decides, right?
Yeah.
But this is an example of where inaction is actually really served because it's been, and the inaction has allowed you to come back into this space and observe some stuff that you weren't observing when you were, you couldn't have made that decision without coming back in here.
Yeah.
It's also allowed for, yeah, now putting a little pressure on the other side in terms of negotiation.
But also, you know, I want to ask you about this when we come back from break. What happens when two people or more, three people, two people, three, what happens when the three of us, maybe Benny too, maybe Jacob too, maybe like we all have a different perspective on something, which is founded on a belief or an opinion. How do we bring the meeting of the minds to get to the win-win? How do we get to the win-win about something? How do we enter the realm of possibilities, right? Because in the possibility perspective, in what you do in your show, you say we can expand our mind, we can heal our wounds, we can gain compassion, we could truly look at solutions by exposure to different perspectives, and that the possibility perspective, your show, your platform, is about attitude, choice, awareness, personal truth, freedom, acceptance, resilience, healing, compassion, perseverance, humility, knowledge, and power, all wrapped up to one. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happens if we can achieve just one of those in a win-win scenario. What happens if we could let go of a control of being right? What happens with that? And what happens when that shows up in your personal life in the middle of a pandemic? Can you honor where each other is? I spent an hour on a call this morning, and I listened to a very different perspective than mine. How do we honor each other? We'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Jessica Henderson joining me here today.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Tune in to the show, Heart Change Consciousness, with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you
ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes. So live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Everybody, welcome back. Jessica Henderson in the house. For those of you out there, you will be able to see her website, thepossibilityperspective.com. Go over there and check it out. What are you going to find? You're going to find information about what this is, but you're also going to find a little information about her. And, you know, one of the things I'm also going to do is going to coach her a little bit more on just kind of, you know, just to tell a little bit more of her story. But she tells you her perspective. She tells you about the unknown. She tells you about now and next. And we're going to talk about that now. All of this is on her website, beautiful website. And, you know, we're going to talk about how did she go from the perspective she had in the network, how did she go from there to moving to where she was 3 years into it, then 5 years into it, then more into it. What is it about her and her core beliefs? And how are she and I alike in a lot of ways? But what is it about the way we look at the world? And what is it that helps us change? What is it about the way we look at the world? What is it that helps us change? And then once we can realize that, and we understand the stories in our lives, and we understand the fact that every step of the way we're manifesting, we're creating. When does the light bulb go on? Jessica, thank you for joining us here today. I mean, and thank you for stepping out into the world, because it would be a little bit odd if you didn't step out in the world. But thank you for stepping out in the world powerfully. I want to ask you about this because, you know, look, we're talking about the possibility perspective, but we're talking about perspective and perception now. Life in the gray area. This is where you step into the gray area. You know, opinions sometimes are not so gray. I like, do you like milk or not? Yes or no? Okay. Do you like your hamburger cooked well done or rare? Yes or no? How do you like the hamburger cooked? What is not negotiable for you? Do you know your not negotiables in life? That's a little bit more gray. Do you know your not negotiables in life? I have a couple. Learn about them. But now we walk the path of perception, reality, and our core beliefs. And, you know, when I read your website and read what you wrote, all of this factored in to where you are today. But I'm interested in that journey for you. You know, I'm interested in imagining you sitting next to Heather. Gotta love Heather. And we have a lot of pictures of Heather at the Northwestern. You sitting next to Heather, an intern, and what those moments were like, and how that was a perfect match, Heather and you. Or was it?
So this is my perspective. I've heard a, you know, hearsay about her perspective of me, and she thought there was something wrong with me because I didn't talk. The level of detail that was handed over to me in some ways made my head want to explode. However, the perfectionist in me was all in. So, I mean, to this day, the level of detail shocks me, of literally what, from the moment I walked into the door, you check this bookshelf for this, you check this bookshelf for this, and you check this bookshelf for this, and then you get this tag, and you move it over here, and then this book goes down here, and then this one goes and you put it on Dr. Pat's desk. That's the first thing you do when you get in. What's the next thing that you do when you get in? You turn on this computer, and you go, and you look here. What's the next thing that you do when you, I mean, it was so detailed. But it set me up for success because it embedded some habits in me that, I mean, you couldn't cut corners, let's say.
Yeah.
It was like, this is the success of the network depends on you and what you're doing and what you're monitoring and what you're reporting and then what you're editing and uploading, and putting it in the wrong place has this ripple effect that you can't even imagine. So, one, I was terrified that I was going to do something wrong. So I was like, every detail, follow it, check it off. And that was really a stretch for me. I have never been an instructions follower. I have never been detail-oriented to that point. But it's really interesting because this is where I fall into the gray area because there's this part of me that's just like, just do it. It's going to be fine. But then there's this perfectionist side of me that is like, but it has to be exactly right. So even if you don't follow the instructions, it has to be done precisely. So yeah. Those two things don't really make sense.
Yeah.
So I think I've lived most of my life in that kind of weird gray area, which has caused some interesting turns and twists and battles, I would say.
But it is interesting, though, because I think Jacob, who's running the show, is probably thinking, what book's she talking about, right? But I find, too, is that, you know, we're going to go back to that kind of training. We have to,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe not quite that, but when you hand somebody a manual and say your first 3 days here are really reading it and asking questions, our jobs, isn't it, to say, did you do that? And to really help to make sure things are done. But you followed that instruction. Tell me about the core belief under that. That's what I want to know.
Because I believe, I was raised that if you're going to show up and do a job, you show up and do it to your very best ability, and you go above and beyond every time.
Yeah.
Like, you see somebody carrying groceries in, you get up off your butt, and you go help them carry the groceries in. Like, that was just like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
So I took that level of work ethic into everything that I did. Did I know what the outcome was necessarily going to be? Did I know I was going to get a job? Did I know at that point I was even going to care about this content? No, to be honest. Like, I looked at the website and went, oh, okay, this is interesting, but you know what? I was open, though. I was open to whatever it was going to be because it was an internship. It was a way to get my foot in the door, and it was a way to continue learning and figuring out what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the shocker for me was when I started to listen to shows and I was like, oh, I like that. Oh, manifesting. Oh, that's how I ended up in Seattle. Oh, that's how I ended up with this internship.
Right.
Oh, like, you know, and then learning about programming. And I mean, it took me on a journey that then you go backward in your life and then you try to figure out what have I been programmed to
right.
do or think. And that all comes back to perspective, right? So you go all the way back and then you figure out along the way what has really shaped who you are and what you believe. And then what are you willing to change and what do you want to change and what do you want to hold on to? And that's been a continual journey in working here just as a natural evolution because that's the type of content we produce. And I found myself just exploring and getting into it. And I'll tell you the one thing I really know after this, and especially after this year, is the more truly grounded in your core beliefs you are, the the more it doesn't matter what anyone else around you is doing or thinking. It doesn't upset you. It doesn't frighten you. It doesn't anger you. And even if it is something you want to take action on, you're able to do it in a way that's compassionate and effective.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is if you get grounded in those core beliefs, because I think when we get defensive about something or we get angry about something, there's something out of balance there. Then with our core beliefs, there's an insecurity there that's causing those types of reactions.
Yeah. Generally, it's a need to be right, but understand the need to be right is something really important, and it's wounded, and we all see it. If you've been wounded, you know, I've been wounded, so I can see it. And, you know, my mentor told me, Sedona, said, you ain't never going to take him to any place you haven't gone, Pat. And, you know, I used to joke about what that meant until it dawned on me. But place where you have to have both compassion and humility together. I want to talk about humility because it is so important in possibilities. Humility isn't what you think it is. It's not this groveling thing. Right? It's not the thing where it's actually a point of strength. Humility is a point of strength. You know, it's not about thinking any less of yourself. It's just thinking about yourself less. Right? That's it. I mean, nobody says humility is don't think, you know, don't take care of yourself. Don't do this. It's just when we put ourselves to the point of righteousness and put ourselves first, we can't hear anybody. Mm-hmm. But compassion and humility together are what make enormous large profit organizations, PETA.org, for example, when you can combine those. But Jessica, here's the dilemma for a lot of people, and we're going to go ahead and skip the next break. The dilemma is, if I step there, then I might have to give something up. And I might have to compromise. And I was taught a long time ago that compromise is not your end game. Win-win is your end game. Compromise is not. You know, sometimes you'll compromise because it's just the only solution. It's the only way. But if you can search for the possibility perspective, it ends up in the top right corner of the conflict resolution chart, and it's win-win. And it's one of the hardest things to do and the easiest thing to strive for. You know, so the possibility perspective, how does it help us move out of the gray area?
I don't know that we ever move out of the gray area, to be honest. I think that there is value in the gray area. The gray area to me is the place of exploring. It's the place of listening. It's the place of being open to other things. It's a place of understanding. And then when you get to those core beliefs, then you're out of the gray. There's certain things you're out of the gray area on. But I also think that we have to be willing to even take those core beliefs and just shift them back into the gray area for a minute, because that's where we remain open. And it's uncomfortable as heck, because I don't want to think about compromising things. I don't want to think about being wrong. I don't want to, but I mean, you got to get over yourself sometimes. I mean, literally, I've had to tell myself this so much lately. It's just get over yourself. Mm-hmm. Is it really worth it? And the answer is usually no. So move yourself right into that gray area and get comfortable with it. And then, because that's where we can really, truly get to a space of discovery and possibility.
And, you know, I think we're faced with these challenges now more than we've ever been. And I was talking to one of our hosts this morning, and what I realized is, you know, clearly what goes on in the United States is very different than that what goes on in Canada or in other countries. You know, but here in the United States, where we're feeling a little bit more comfortable around the pandemic, you know, a lot of the restrictions have been removed. And yet there's some interesting thing going on here that's even tough for me, you know, because I have an opinion. And yet, my opinion aligns with the action, but I'll tell you what my hot button is. I don't think you manipulate people into making a decision about what to do in a pandemic one way or the other. I think you let them decide.
I mean, you know, million-dollar lotteries for people as incentive, you know, threatening not to take them places if they don't do one thing or another. And, you know, I'm finding that even for somebody like me who has an opinion about something like what goes on in a pandemic, I also have a counter opinion that says, don't manipulate people. Let them decide for themselves. You know, like what? You're going to give fifth graders a $1 million lottery if they do so? I went off for a minute. But what I'm trying to say is I can have an opinion and have a perspective and have a perception until another one of my core beliefs is hit. And that's procedural justice. It is a major core issue for me. It's not about the what. It's not about the end game. It's how we get there. If you're going to fire somebody, fire them with dignity and respect. Honor their dignity, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a decision about something, please do it with honor and dignity. But a $1 million lottery over something, Jesus, can't people decide? That's where I want to talk to you about possibility, perspective, and what lengths we will go to convince other people that our way is the best way.
I think that's one of our biggest problems. I think we are so busy either A, manipulating to try to get to be right, or B, talking at people to be right and shaming and, you know, making people feel lesser than because of one way or another. How are you ever going to get somebody? When in your life have you ever responded positively to those feelings? I'll wait. So what makes people think that that's the right way?
I'm waiting too.
Right? I mean, that, but again, this is my perspective and my opinion on it. And it, that, you know, that can point to a lot of things going on right now in the world.
Yeah.
So it's just, it is interesting. And I think that that's where mm-hmm. we just need to keep having conversations.
We do. We have to have the conversation. I want to point out a situation because I think it falls directly in your realm of the possibility perspective. For 80 years, in all of the 12-step programs, regardless of where technology was or wasn't, any venture outside of the realm of anonymity, I mean anything, including letters, emails, anything was, that is just completely unacceptable. So here's what's going on in the world. We enter into a pandemic, and the thing that we held so dear is less important than saving lives of people. So what we decide is we're going to save lives of people, and we're going to test the waters of the digital age. And what we find is organizations such as that, and they are not only, the 12-step programs are not the only ones. I'm talking about centers all over the world that it required a face-to-face, right? Like, you got to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor, telemedical, whatever that's called. Everything has changed in that way. Work. You're working from home. But now, Jessica, people want it to go back. I mean, honestly, there's a corporation that I will not name that put a memo out to their employees that they need to go back to normal. Normal. Just come back to work. There's some things that will go back in the bottle. I don't ever think that any kind of outreach organization that is allowed for digital communication will go back in the bottle. But how do we move the possibility meter so that we understand what's important to us and what's not and what we can do about it? Because it's one thing to have a possibility, but a possibility without action is what? That's like smoke.
Exactly. And that's the conversation piece. It's the conversation and communication piece. So it's first figuring it out. It's a lot of work, too. I mean, that's not like just like you sit down one day and you make a pro-con list about your life. Like, yeah, cool, that would be nice. But it's figuring out what we want, and then it's going to figure out what we want to do about it, and then figuring out how to do it with humility, compassion, kindness, open understanding, and then from the top there, like the example you used. If there's a company that wants everybody to come back to work and there's people that don't want to, or they figured out how to very easily do their job, right? You know, now you're in the pros and cons of impact in the company and the people and their livelihoods and their families and all of that. So if that's something that you're really passionate about, then do the work behind it. Don't just get upset by it and write a Facebook post ranting about it. Like, what is that going to do for you? Absolutely nothing. So figure out the facts, come up with a compelling conversation, schedule the meetings with the people you need to schedule the meetings with, and then see what you can do. But the key is you have to be unattached to the outcome, because guess what? You still might not get, you might do all that work and you still might not get your way. And that's when the possibility perspective comes in. That's when faith comes in. That's when you look at something and you say, okay, I put forth my effort. I laid, you know, drew my line in the sand of what I wanted, and I communicated that to the best of my ability. Now what? Now what am I supposed to learn from this, and what other possibilities are there for me? Is it another job that I can live this lifestyle? Do I need to go start looking for that? Is that the message here? Or is it something I need to look differently at my own core beliefs? And then you go from there. But I think that that's part of the problem, is we just sit and get so upset about something and then don't act, take impactful action about it. Because you could argue that taking action is writing a post about it, but is that impactful action?
Exactly. You know, as we wrap this conversation up, what I'm really struck by are three things. One is the journey to possibilities through both the mind and the heart is one of the most important journeys we can take. You can enter the world of possibilities through your left brain intellectual phenomenon. I've done that. And in a 10-year research journey, I had a committee except for one person that wanted me to keep to that. But I had one person that believed in the possibility of looking at the human potential from the heart, that looked at something from the heart. Sometimes these things are hard to measure. What's Jessica Henderson's baseline for the possibility perspectives?
I think the pause. But you could think about the pause as the gray area and stepping back to really do the work to figure out who you are at your core. Who are you? What is your personal truth? And then from there, figure out the appropriate action in your life. And that's something that it takes work to even get to the space of being open to do that. But I think if we all could do that a little bit more, we'd see some serious change happen in a positive way.
Yeah.
In ways we wouldn't expect.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I did that last show and I was really trying to reflect upon moments that you just don't want to ever remember. You don't want to speak about them. You don't want to remember them. You don't want to remember a time in life where you hardly can remember that lack of freedom for any one group. But the reality is, you know, there's a possibility of us all experiencing freedom. How we get there is going to go through, as you say, the gray area. Two people look at a videotape that's 9 minutes long. One person walks away from it with an opinion. The other one has a completely different opinion. How do we come together to honor each person's journey? I think that's what you're doing in your show.
Exactly.
Jessica, thank you for today. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
One,
you better not be looking for no job. No, what he's talking about right there.
One, get over yourselves.
That was directed at me. No.
I'm serious, myself included. If there's just a moment where we're just frustrated or angry about something, just get over yourself and figure out why. What's the real reason why the reactions that we have? And then be willing to let go.
Jessica Henderson. I'm Dr. Pat. Again, Jessica, how do they listen to your show? Because now we're talking about the important stuff.
You can find it on transformationtalkradio.com, The Possibility Perspective, and it's on Spotify, also Google Podcasts, or my website.
Okay, I lied. I have one more question. Give us your top aha possibility for 2021.
I'm not saying this to butter you up, but I have to say it is really launching the stuff we're about to launch. Like, that honestly started to feel like it was so far-fetched and not a reality that now that it's becoming a reality, my aha is, I can't share all of this in this, like, 30 seconds.
Yes.
The aha came from a call we were on with a tech company that was so in awe of us and what we can do. My aha moment was like, holy crap, we actually do a lot of really great stuff that we take for granted because we're so good at it.
And the other thing, too, is this isn't you and I sitting in a room and building it. We've taken every request from every host we've ever had in 11 years and every guest I've ever had, and we've done our best to incorporate it.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Tuesday, Eric Reiner here with you on KKNW.